Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd.
I'm Becca.
And we are here, and we're going to watch every horror movie ever made. So hang out with us for a spoiler-free review and content warning, followed by our full thoughts. Because today, we watched Bring Her Back from 2025, a.k.a. Bring Her Back to Me, which is what you said to your mom.
Look, I don't know.
Turning into such a little boomer.
I don't know why. Don't call me boomer. I think I'm so used to so many horror films having like longer names now. I was like, sure, that sounds right.
Look, both this and Talk to Me are just like, here's a random small sentence, and that's the name. Those are so hard to remember. But it's directed by, of course, Danny and Michael Philippou, a.k.a. Raka Raka.
Did you give yourself options?
Yes.
Nice.
And yes, this is coming in kind of hot. We saw this at the, what do they call it? I can't remember.
I don't know. And you could look it up.
I got it.
Okay.
This was the Monday mystery movie at Regal, which is something we have like just recently become a part of.
It's a bird.
Fucking bird.
He's happy.
When we found out that it was guaranteed to be a horror movie this week and next week, we were like, holy shit, we gotta fucking do this. I mean, for those who don't know, it seems like there are different chains. It's not just Regal. I think AMC and Cinemark do it too, where they let you see a movie early on Monday at 7 p.m. for $5. But the catch is you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So we felt like horror movies, that's kind of a safe bet. I was like really hoping we would literally go in there and we wouldn't know what it was until like the title card came up. I think that's what like my expectation
was.
Oh,
yeah, me too.
And then, no, of course, we have the directors coming out on screen and giving like a whole intro where they proceed to spoil the fucking story of the movie.
That was interesting.
I was like, come on, guys, what the fuck? Like, they even call it out like, well, that was kind of a spoiler. It's like, yeah, it was.
I had really not looked into this movie much at all, so I was in pretty blind.
I was totally blind.
Until
they completely gave something away. So, like, on that note, we are going to be extra careful about spoilers here because we know a lot of people don't have access to this right now, but in the spoiler-free section, we're going to try to just give you a basic idea of what it's about and just tell you how we felt about it. But the experience we've had with these mystery movies has definitely been not what I expected.
Yeah.
Because I thought something like this, you know, bring out the real cinephiles, the movie freaks out there. And it turns out it just seems to be people who want to watch a $5 movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like they are the most random, ridiculous crowds. We were sitting next to, I sat next to a lady with a blanket who I guess took her shoes off completely.
Yes,
I didn't
she had
even
bare
notice.
Feet.
Yeah. I was trying not to pay attention to her.
Yeah.
Always loved that. I think last time we saw that was an anime movie in the theater. So
I think bringing a blanket, whatever, do you? It gets cold in there. I get
it. Yeah, we disagree on this one.
Well, I wouldn't do it personally, but it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when you take your shoes off. Like, can we just keep...
That's a little too comfortable.
That's like, keep your shoes on, guys.
Whatever, man. If you want to take a blanket, do whatever the fuck you want. I just think like people are getting a little too comfortable. But whatever.
There was that guy next to me. He was playing a video at full volume.
I was going to say, meanwhile, next to you were like some young dudes who were just on their phones the whole time.
Yeah.
So I guess you get what you can out of this. But this was a movie. I mean, of course, Raka Raka, they directed Talk to Me in 2023, which that was 2023, right?
I think so.
Which apparently was also a mystery movie. Shows you how long they've been doing this. And it worked out super well for them because they were kind of unknown. They were just doing stuff on YouTube. And you love seeing that happen. I mean, like Jordan Peele, this was kind of the thing. It was a comedy actor who suddenly becomes this incredible horror director.
Yeah, he's going to be like another legend in horror. Like it's...
Yeah. So they proved themselves with Talk to Me because I think most people are really pleasantly surprised by that. And I think the thing that I would say about this movie is that it really is, like, thematically, stylistically, everything, it is very similar to Talk to Me. I was actually surprised how similar they are. Because when I first heard about it, yeah, I didn't really pay attention to what the story was about. I just knew it was from them. And with the title, it made me think it was like a sequel to Talk to Me. And it does feel almost like this kind of spiritual sequel. Like, I can imagine this taking place in like the same world as Talk to Me, even though it doesn't really directly reference that movie at all.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're starting to build their own universe, which I'm here for.
The Rockverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You know, the funny thing is, I did like this a lot. I don't think I liked it as much as Talk to Me. I think, like, maybe part of it is just it doesn't have that same surprise factor, you know? Mm-hmm. And it does feel like we're kind of treading some of the same ground. It's like, if you like Talk to Me, you're going to have a lot here that you're going to like, too. It's a pretty safe bet. But I think, yeah, my biggest criticism is just how similar it is to Talk to Me. Because if we're talking, like, the story, I really don't want to give anything away except that it does deal with possession, which is not surprising after I said, like, it's really similar to Talk to Me. It has a lot to do with grief and trauma, which also, like, Talk to Me.
Yeah.
But it has a different kind of framing device for all of this. And I think that is the biggest weakness is with Talk to Me. Everybody kind of praised it for how they take this possession story and they're telling it in this framework of being like children taking drugs. Because you have the whole montage sequence where they're just like partying with the fucking ghosts and demons and taking turns getting possessed. And then it just kind of goes bad. And that is like, it's such a smart way to depict this kind of story, this kind of horror story. And I think Bring Her Back just doesn't have that same kind of framing device. You know, it feels like a more traditional possession movie.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's hard to talk about is that there is this supernatural center to this movie. It uses kind of rules and stuff the same way that The Hand did in Talk to Me.
Yeah.
And I think that element of the movie is definitely the standout. It's like the most interesting because it does that same thing of delivering you some information, but not really explaining everything. So it seems very unsettling and creepy. We'll talk about that more in the spoiler section. But I don't know. I think like maybe it's just that there's a kind of sheen that has rubbed off because we kind of know what these guys are capable of now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still like, it was still a really fun movie.
Yeah.
Really happy we got to see it.
Yeah. I mean, when they turn the lights off and then start the movie, I was like hoping it would be them.
Well, as soon as they pop up, you know who these motherfuckers are. So as soon as we saw them, it was like, all right.
Yes. I was so excited. I think I like grabbed you and I was like, yes.
Yeah. I feel like there was like one other person in the theater who was like, woo.
Yeah.
It's like most people were probably like, who the fuck are these
guys? Yeah, I think I even heard someone say, who is this? And I was like, okay.
We don't need that. Just take me right into the movie.
Yeah, I would rather drop right into the movie. I mean, I appreciate the little message in the beginning. I think it's cool. I do think they gave a little bit too much away of their own film. But I don't know. It's nice, but it's a double-edged sword because I also would just like to be dropped into the movie.
Come on, guys. But yeah, I mean, it was a really good time. I don't want to sound like too negative. I think I'm just doing the unfair thing of comparing it to their other movie, which is like...
I don't know if it's unfair. I think it's justified. Like it was great. The first movie was very great.
I was going to say it's impossible not to because they are so similar. But if we're talking content warning, by definition, this is going to have to be a little bit more spoilery because...
Well, yeah.
That's just like, if you want to know what you're in for, we're still not going to spoil any story beats or anything. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, like, there are kind of two fronts here that you got to be careful of.
Yeah.
One is the gore and the body horror stuff.
Yeah.
They kind of do that a little bit in Talk to Me with her little brother, you know?
Yeah.
When he becomes possessed. This movie really leans into that shit. There are parts that had me, like, fucking squirming around in my seat because it was just like, oh, fuck.
The special effects and they are crazy.
There's some bad teeth stuff. It's tough to watch. I think I also heard that some people were experiencing like people running out of the theater, which is like,
one person, but I don't know if
maybe they just had to pee really bad. Maybe. They were moving pretty fast.
They zoomed out of there.
I think not everybody understands what they're in for with the mystery movie.
Yeah.
But then, the other big thing is it does deal with grief, and specifically it deals with losing a father and losing a child. And it tackles those things in a very heavy way.
Yeah. It also deals with child abuse as well. So...
it's a lot of it's a lot of heavy stuff. It's a heavy movie.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, again, without spoiling anything specific, it's worth pointing out it has a downer ending, which is also similar to Talk to Me, because Talk to Me is the same kind of thing.
This one somehow had more weight, I feel like. Like, it hurt more.
Yeah. And, we've talked a lot about these kind of bleak, dark endings versus, what's the word?
Happy endings.
Versus sometimes, especially when you're dealing with really serious, heavy, real subject matter, it's nice to walk away with something more positive. But these guys, they seem to really just want to fuck you up.
Yeah. And I guess, like, I guess it's not totally fair to say that there isn't a happy ending, because there's not. Nah, I guess not. No.
But I mean, if you're in for something like this, you want something just really fucking dark, I think it is a really good movie.
Yeah, I think it has great commentary on grief and what that looks like.
Yeah.
It executes that well, but it is, you are in for a ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think unless you got something else, let's get to spoilers. See, in the beginning, they made sure to let us know that there is a visually impaired actor in this and also a child who gets possessed. They said that right away. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even know this was a fucking possession movie. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks, dude. But I mean, this is a movie that kind of centers on four actors, and I think all of them were fucking great.
Yeah. They all gave incredible performances. It was all believable.
I mean, Piper was amazing. Mm-hmm. Her brother Andy definitely was. He was like such an interesting character because he did a great job portraying someone who, he witnesses his father's death, and that whole dynamic of finding the body.
Yeah, to be like a parental figure to his younger sister in the same moment where he's losing his father. Yeah. And it's very complicated. You can tell right off the bat this is a very complicated situation, which it is and it can be.
You can feel the pressure on him throughout the movie. And that dynamic between him and his sister Piper, they would use the term grapefruit whenever they needed to be like honest with each other, which is something that like it makes sense. It would be so important if you're unable to really see and you're reliant on someone else. Like, you need to know that you can trust this person. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a story point when he kind of betrays that trust and you see how upset she gets about it. Mm-hmm. I just like how they include these little details and really work with them in the story. Like, they take these elements seriously, you know? And that was something that added a lot of texture to the story.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was also, it's always super refreshing to see siblings that get along too, because I feel like for so long in media, I'm an only child, so what I see on TV is siblings that just like hate each other and like pick on each other all the time, and I think it's good to see like when they care for each other and they're actually looking out for each other.
But see, they play with that.
They
because
do.
When they start driving this divide between them, it makes it like extra fucking painful.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, yeah, the thing that's so cool with this movie, I love how it opens with this weird like VHS footage of some kind of fucking weird ritual where they're like hanging someone. And that like that really sets the tone. And I love when movies are able to do this, where a lot of this movie is just a regular human drama story between these characters. But by introducing it in that way, it just already gives you this anxiety the whole time. You're just waiting to see how that shit comes into the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if this is like their cinematic universe that they're working in with like these modern depictions of like witchcraft, I'm like really here for it.
That's the interesting thing, that I can like draw a line between these movies where it feels like it is a world with a very specific kind of like ghost and demon.
Mm-hmm.
And we can access these things through like these certain rituals. I think that's just already, it's a cool way to tie them together where it can feel like this is the same world, but they don't have to like pull out. Like, it's not like, oh, there's the hand.
Yeah.
You know, like you just don't need that shit. It's cool. And it feels like very loose and gives them a lot of freedom to play in this. But it's like it is consistent in the way it depicts these supernatural elements, mm-hmm. I guess. So we talked about how they discovered their dad's body. Mm-hmm. And that was like that was the first like really shocking scene in the movie. And you can feel how like there is this weird dynamic where the son, Andy, he's the one who really has to shoulder all this because mm-hmm. he saw it. And it's something that, like, when they do get adopted by Laura, played by Sally Hawkins, who was fucking nuts in this role.
Oh, my God.
You can see how she, like, plays with that. She plays, mm-hmm. she immediately recognizes the pressure he must be under.
And she fucking pokes at it.
Yep, and gaslights the shit out of him. And she's so good in this role because as soon as you meet her, you just are like, what the fuck is going on with this lady? Like, there just seems like something is wrong here,
mm-hmm.
even though she is always like super cheery. And they quickly introduce Oliver, the little boy living there, who she like never mentions or addresses. It's just like, he's fine. He's just out there playing in the pool, strangling the cat, which was also, I guess we should have put that in the content warning, the cat stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like
the cat was okay.
I was so thankful they don't really show anything, but you hear the cat in a lot of distress. It's not great. But that's what I'm saying is like that it sets up this, it creates this setting that is just so fucking stressful because you have this little kid Oliver over here where you're like, I don't know what's going on with him, but I don't like him. I'm scared of him. I don't know why he's here. And then you have Laura, their mother, who you just feel like you cannot trust her.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something here where the like ground level version of the story is she lost her daughter, who is also blind, mm-hmm. which is already a little suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on here? And as soon as they get to the house and you see that white line,
mm-hmm.
it's like, there's all these little details that just set something up where it's like you're waiting for the supernatural turn.
They were really great at using the space to like serve the tension in the story because there was like the pool in the backyard that's like empty and a triangle, all these like sharp angles. And there's a lot of like sharp angles within the space that they're in. Like everything feels uncomfortable. Like the rooms are just a little too small. Like his room was just like a closet.
Yeah.
And it's really good at building this like claustrophobia, feeling like they're like trapped in this place already.
Yeah. And by the way, did it not seem weird to you that there's an empty pool back there when there's a blind child living here?
Oh, like,
I was right away like, what the this seems very unsafe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's totally true what you're saying. And they play with that in the cinematography too. Mm-hmm. Like they really sell this very uncomfortable vibe there. But yeah, once the gaslighting campaign starts, though, she makes him think that he's, like, peeing himself every night. And there's so many little manipulative details that are just so shocking.
Yeah, she's literally, like, torturing him, trying to, like, exacerbate.
Exacerbate. Nope. You're putting a T. That's not what I said. You're putting a T in there. That makes it sound naughty.
We gotta cut all of this.
No. What is it? Exacerbate?
The way that she just pours salt in the wound of his trauma.
Pours urine on the crotch of his trauma.
I mean, before we even jump to her pouring her piss all over him, yeah. I'm also talking about when she made him kiss his dead dad.
Jesus,
whoa, that was so uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable. And it's like, this is what I'm saying. All the characters are so well defined, because that scene, like, not only does it show how like aggressively manipulative she is, because she says it in this very calm way, like, yeah, you know, this is what people do. This is what you're supposed to do. It's okay. Kiss your dad on the lips. And but then the son, the way that he like you kind of forget when you're that age, it can be hard to stand up to adults, especially in this super vulnerable situation where you're in front of your dad's body.
Not only that, this woman is assessing him to make sure that he's quote unquote fit to take care of his own sister. So he has to like watch his behavior.
Yeah, it's that's the stuff that is the most effective. I think all the character stuff is so strong in this.
Yeah, it really abuses the power dynamic that they set up, and it makes you uncomfortable, and it should make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And Piper's character, I mean, she is like, she is so fucking charming. Like, she's so funny. But then when like you can see her vulnerability, like in moments where she feels like she's being betrayed, like when he lies to her, and when the fucking lady punches her in the face while she's sleeping.
Oh my God.
In order to like turn her against her brother, I guess that was like, it was so shocking and upsetting.
Yeah. I was like moving in my seat. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened.
That's what I'm saying. The movie does a good job of creating all this emotional tension and then just hitting you in the gut every now and then.
But I mean, that's art though. Like being it's able effective. To have people sit in those moments and like feel that is art.
But the way it depicts, the way that each of them kind of separately deal with grief, you know, because Andy, he is unable to take showers. And when he's, you know, peeing himself at night and everything, he just kind of doesn't question it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like.
He's just kind of like, well, fuck, I guess this is what's happening right now.
Yeah. It's really sad. And then with Laura, like you can see this devastating emptiness in her that's like driving her to do all these things, and that's where the supernatural part comes into it, because I guess the lore they set up, which I'm all about this, having like the rules and a little bit of lore, it's very cool. It seems like they present this idea that when you die, I guess your soul stays in your body for a little while, and it's like you can use a sacrifice of like a child. And they don't really explain that part, where it seems like they somehow put this demonic entity into the child.
I don't think it's specifically a child. I think it was like of anyone, just a body, I think. At least from what the video showed, I don't think it was.
Well, in the video, it was a child. Like it was a little girl.
I feel like I saw adults too. So I might have been confused.
That's what I'm saying. It gets like, it's hard to parse. So this is what I think happens. You basically have three people, right? Mm-hmm. You have the vessel, the sacrifice, and the corpse. So the person you want to bring back, you are somehow putting this demonic entity, which I think she describes as like an angel, which is of course the typical twisted way to view this, because it's going to create a miracle for you. But you put this thing into a child sacrifice, and then you have a vessel that you want the soul to basically pass into. And then the idea is with the new vessel, you kill them in the same way that the person died, then the demon eats the body of the corpse and then spits it up into the new vessel and brings them back to life. And even that detail is so interesting, because you just see in the video she's watching, which I guess is like her instruction manual. It's so weird. These are the unanswered questions that are really interesting, is like, how did she come across this?
Yeah.
How did she know about this?
Yeah. When did she snap? Did she snap immediately, or was it like
but where does this even come from? Because I think normally a story like this, you'd present this idea that like, oh, maybe they're in some weird cult or something, and that's how they find out. Yeah. This seems more like some tape she ordered on the internet or something.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
It was like in Russian on the bottom, I think.
Yeah. And she's like just following these instructions. It's so cool. And it makes
is
you wonder.
Very cool.
Like, how did this demon get here? How'd she get her hands on this kid? They don't answer those questions. It's very cool. And that's the part that's like, it's so interesting because when you first see this kid, you know something fucking wrong with him.
Yeah.
But you don't know what. And they kind of slowly dole out this information in this interesting way where they're not really telling it to you, which is kind of why we had to work through it, because they don't really tell you the rules. You're just picking up on it. What's that called? Diegetic, I think.
Giving it's yourself options? Diegetic.
There we go. Yeah, just in a way where it's like they're showing it to you, not really telling you.
Yeah.
It's a very cool way to express this kind of lore. It's something they seem really good at. Because I think Talk to Me kind of does that too. But yeah, watching that fucking kid Oliver unravel over this movie is like just shockingly horrible. This is where a lot of the body horror comes from, is this fucking kid.
Yeah, when he pulled the skin back down his arm, that took me right back. Black Swan's been out for a while, but it took me back to Black Swan, if you know what I'm talking about. It is like that times 20.
There's a lot of fucking teeth shit, too.
Oh,
like between
man.
Him chewing
it
on a knife
so long.
And then chewing on a fucking table.
Oh, God.
That's the stuff where it's like, I guess at the end, the kid comes back, but it's like, oh, brother, like you're in some bad shape. I mean, it's interesting that they didn't really shy away from that.
Yeah.
Even though it is very dark.
The way they transformed this child's body was insane.
Yeah, literally, like as it progresses, it just gets more and more horrifying. And there's that cool moment where you see it for a split second, like in the mirror, where it looks like this weird demon thing.
Yeah.
That was really fucking scary too.
Yeah, whatever like contact lenses they were using were also like super crazy looking.
Man, they put that kid through it. But yeah, it's heartbreaking. Like seeing how desperate that Laura gets like over the course of the movie. On one hand, it's interesting because they kind of set it up as, you know, her brother is her protector and eventually he gets the authorities involved, which, by the way, when he went back with the social worker, I was like, why isn't there like a cop with you?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Well, I think they do kind of explain that into the story. It seemed like there was an extreme level of trust with this woman because she had worked there for so long.
Yeah. But the way that like when they're setting that up, especially when you see it's just this old lady, it was like, this is not going to go well. this is not going to work out.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect them to kill both characters.
No,
like, that
I
was
didn't
crazy.
Expect that either.
That was surprising and very dark.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, it's interesting because it sets it up as, you know, Piper is going to kind of have to save herself from this instead of being able to rely on her brother all the time. But it's just, man, it's so tragic. Like, that's the kind of darkness that they get into with these movies that maybe you have to be in the right mood for.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess for some reason, had we gone into this, I had no idea at all what to expect. Like, it would blindside you just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's extremely heavy, considering the last mystery movie we saw was Fight or Flight.
The plane fight movie with Josh Hartnett.
Super silly.
Very different.
But the themes are just handled so well. It's like, I'm fine with sitting in how uncomfortable and disgusting it is.
It is an exquisitely crafted, dark, and upsetting movie.
And grotesque.
Yeah. But I did like it a lot. I wonder, this one might age better than Talk to Me. We haven't seen it since we saw it in theaters.
Mm.
And I don't know how much of it is still just like that surprise that we're riding off of, you know? But I like this. I like that these directors are kind of proving themselves as just being reliable horror filmmakers who are going to keep making some fucked up stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a one hit surprise.
Yeah. I can't wait for the next film.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. We're a rock ahead.
We are rock aheads in this household. But you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover.
What's the movie called?
Bring Her Back.
I was starting to write Come to Me. I was like, that's not it.
How about this? Above Return to Oz and below Smile 2.
I guess the list is just like, and the further I look up, I'm just like, I don't know.
I was getting ready to scroll down, like, I know what you're doing. Don't look at that.
Sure.
It somehow puts it at number 64 on our list.
How did you think the list was going to go?
The list is in control of us. But you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Honestly, what are the movies you're looking forward to this year? I just found out about The Ritual and Dangerous Animals because they might be playing next week. But I don't know what else is coming. And you can follow us on YouTube. We're posting on there again. And that's it. Bye.